Hard Mark Podcast.
Shrimp on the barbie. Shrimp on the barbie.
Do you respect that?
That's corruption.
I could make a fake snake.
You not pee in the pool. You not pee
on the barbie. All of myself is clean.
Broadcasting from the house of eternal sickness. Welcome to the Hard Mark Podcast, a show where I, Eric Donaldson, wrestling fan of over 30 years, introduce one match per episode to my co-host who has never watched wrestling. We talk about the backstory. We watch that dang match. And then we rank that match on our ever-growing list. The purpose of this show is to see what happens when someone who's never watched wrestling is introduced to its most notable matches. And without any further ado, my authentically svelte co-host, Flying Ryan Murphy. Ryan, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm here. I'm very good. I'm not sick.
You're not sick?
Well, you're away from little children birthday parties, you know?
You're not sick. I mean, you probably, like, have... When was the last time you got sick?
I was sick, probably a year ago. Yeah.
That's one of the perks of being a dude, just living on your own, not having to go into the office, is your your immune system is not being taxed. Now, whether or not that's a positive or a negative, I can't say. But now it's like, you know, I feel like the last time that we recorded, I was like, oh yeah, the house was sick forever. Well, you know, we went to a little kid's birthday party, and I know the kid that got this house sick again. I know who it was.
Plotting your revenge.
Mm-hmm. I don't know them, but I could ID them in a lineup of children for sure.
You just go stick them with your little snot sucker, you know.
For sure, that'll teach them a lesson. But yeah, we're back. We're here. I'm sick, but I'm okay. It's fine. I'm not that sick.
You are sick. You are actually sick because you said you might be. You guys are. You're sick.
Just a little congested, and honestly, it's a very mild thing. But I'd rather not be any of it. To be perfectly honest with you, but hey, you know what? Them's the breaks. But that's neither here nor there. Really quick, Ryan, before we get into the match, we have a lot to get through here today, so I'm not going to dwell on this. If this has not hit your radar, that's fine. This can wait to a later meetup that we have. But have you heard any about the Vince McMahon situation?
I've been seeing some like Vince McMahon clips, but I don't know if that's related to like. I don't know much about like a new situation. You want to give me a brief rundown?
I'll give you a brief rundown, and then we can talk about it more on another episode. But basically, so I think I told you about the whole situation where he stepped down because there was a paralegal that he'd gotten hired and gotten her like all these raises and stuff and made her sign an NDA and blah 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 blah. So that had happened. It had more or less like it hit the media zeitgeist and then kind of drifted away, and then Vince McMahon muscled himself back into power at the WWE. That's the short version of what had happened previously. Now he's had to step down again because apparently, so as part of the NDA, he did not actually pay this woman what he promised he would be paying her, which, you know, when you're a billionaire several times over, who can keep track of $3 million? Yes, he failed to pay her, which meant she then is now taking him to court. She filed this big, long thing, basically outlining all the horrendous things that Vince McMahon did to her. And Vince McMahon is officially now persona non grata. Like, he is not going to be someone who's mentioned on WWE TV in the future. He's fucked. He's like Harvey Weinstein fucked.
So, because of like the allegations that she's brought up, so okay, I was thinking like at first it's just because like she didn't or he didn't pay her, but no, just the allegations that I haven't heard these. Okay,
the NDA being in place, what was in theory what was preventing her from going forward because she accepted a payout, but then because he did not follow up on his side of the NDA of paying her what he promised, that meant she was free to pursue legal action, which she has done. And it seems like a real shit show. He is a horrible person. We'll probably talk again. We will talk more about it later. But is I already knew that Vince McMahon was a piece of shit, and I've not been shy about that.
We talked about it.
I was surprised how much of a piece of shit he was from this legal filing. I was shocked.
In this industry, it is sometimes hard to be, you know, much more of a piece of shit. You know,
yeah, it does tend to gravitate towards those individuals. Yeah. In pro wrestling,
I've seen like I said, the clips of him have been more of like one of them was where he's sitting in a chair and that like woman, I don't know who the woman was, but she's like dancing on the table.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like more of that kind of stuff, but I didn't realize what the context was. I hadn't heard about this. No, so
He's fucked. He's done. He's
all right.
We'll talk about it more, but yeah, Vince McMahon couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Fuck you. So let's talk about our match. Let's talk about people who don't shit on other human beings in sexual context. So one of the threads that we followed before we went on our big baby break was the emergence of New Japan Pro Wrestling as a global company and an option for those who were burnt out on the WWE product. So today we're going to revisit New Japan, but before we get into that match, there was a quote that I saw floating around. I thought it was an interesting one, and I think it's one that really encapsulates the difference between the wrestling styles and the various corners of the world. Because I think a lot of times, especially, you know, coming from your perspective, Ryan, you know, you're looking at wrestling as just wrestling, but wrestling in different pockets of the world is meant to represent something a little bit different. And so I think it's good to kind of judge it by its own individual standards. So there's a prominent independent wrestler, a guy by the name of Chris Hero. He's been around for a bit. He summarized it like this, and he's wrestled in all these different countries. So he's a bit of an expert in terms of like how you would define each style of wrestling. But in the United States, pro wrestling, it's a morality play. It's good versus evil, and it's right versus wrong, generally speaking. Which we've seen enough U.S.-based wrestling to know that's pretty spot on. It is. It's you want to cheer one guy, you want to boo a guy. Things have become more muddled and gray lately, but that's the general vibe of U.S. wrestling. In Mexico, which we haven't seen a whole ton of, wrestling is a marriage of pageantry and acrobatics. It's not meant to be simulating a realistic fight. Mexican wrestling is meant to showcase athleticism and spectacle.
I was just going to ask,
sure, yeah.
Jump in the middle of this.
Uh-huh.
I also feel like, you know, wrestling like in the U.S. also kind of has that aspect too. Do they pick that up more from Mexico or like, cause like it's a lot of flashy, like doing like, you know, some crazy acrobatics.
The acrobatics was not that's always been a part of Mexican wrestling.
Yeah.
More and more over the past, I don't know, 30 years in wrestling, has that been incorporated more into the U.S. style? You know, traditionally, it was not a whole lot of that. It was a lot of times where guys would barely leave their feet. But yes, it's that has been more of a Mexican influence across the other countries. So, and you're seeing now, especially with the internet being this internet's really taken off, Ryan. But now that people can watch wrestling from literally everywhere, you're seeing more hybrids of different styles. But this is again just back to the tradition of what it was or what it's kind of meant to be. In Europe, which we've not seen any of, I don't think, wrestling is an exhibition of physical and mental chess. You're putting a hold on your opponent. They figure out a counter to that hold, and then you counter their counter. So again, it's like physical and mental chess.
Sounds kind of boring. Sounds like real wrestling.
I mean, eventually we might watch some of those. I find it to be interesting, but I don't know. Yeah, if it would scratch the itch that you're necessarily looking for. But the last of the definitions, Japan. So in Japan, wrestling represents struggle through sport. It's a battle of wills, where to truly win the fans over, you have to demonstrate fighting spirit. And so I think of those four areas, those four regions, territories, I think the Japanese definition might be the most abstract. And so we can chat about it a bit. So for most Japanese wrestling companies, their stories are not told via Zambonis or skits at hospitals, but through what happens inside the ring over a period of months or even years. In short, the stories in Japanese wrestling are simple, but the personalities are complex. And so that's where you're getting the drama from. So for example, there's a guy in New Japan, he's named Yoshihashi. He usually would look scared or confused when he enters the ring. That's not part of any storyline, that's just how his face looks. He looks like a big dope. New Japan always gives their guys English nicknames. So no matter who you are, if you're a New Japan wrestler, you're going to have some sort of English nickname. Some of them translate better than others. The nickname Yoshihashi was given was Loose Explosion. Which always makes me laugh. At one point, I wanted to get a Loose Explosion t-shirt, but I think that ship has sailed. And in one of the most Yoshihashi events of all time, while he was running to the ring to make a save at one point, he accidentally tripped. He fell face first into the apron, and he started bleeding all over the place while a good portion of the audience laughed at him. None of that was planned. But in spite of all this, just like how some people are fans of the Detroit Lions, there were still pockets of fans for Yoshihashi. And over the past few years, while he'll never be a world champion, Yoshihashi has found himself a capable tag team competitor. He won his first championship as part of a tag team, which when that happened, it actually made his fans in attendance weep tears of joy. And so I think that's the main thing to keep in mind when we watch a lot of these Japanese matches. These stories are being told via the matches themselves and the wrestler's ability to show enough heart to win fans over. And so sometimes that can happen in one night, sometimes that takes years to happen, and sometimes it never happens. So with all that said, let's talk about our match we'll be watching. Back in episode 74, which this is, what is this? Episode 84. But back in episode 74... we saw an incredible match featuring Kazuchika Okada successfully defending the IWGP Championship against Kenny Omega in the Tokyo Dome. As a reminder, that match was meant to establish who the man that would lead New Japan's global expansion would be. After his victory, Okada solidified his place as the top of the company. But as we talked about in Japan, it's about struggle through sport, and for a guy like Okada, in his fourth reign as champion, you could easily come to the conclusion that there really wasn't much of a struggle left. But when you are a GOAT-level talent, your goalposts shift, and you set your sights on GOAT-level shit. Namely, setting the record for longest IWGP championship reign in history. So after he defeated Kenny Omega, Okada would fend off a few more challengers, like the murder grandpa himself, Minoru Suzuki, a match that we've actually seen already versus Katsuyori Shibata, where Shibata headbutted Okada so hard that he gave himself a subdural hematoma, and he had to be rushed to the hospital after the match, and then they had to cut out a piece of his skull to relieve pressure on his brain. And in probably the only dud to this point in his reign, Okada would defend against the Bullet Club's resident big boy, Bad Luck Fale. But after defeating Fale, when the Bullet Club came out to assist their fallen comrade, Okada spotted a familiar rival. Of all the men Okada had competed against, the one who had put up the biggest fight and taken Okada to the closest to his limits was Kenny Omega, the leader of the Bullet Club. And so Okada took it upon himself to challenge Omega to a rematch, to prove that the result of that first match was no fluke. Omega would accept, knowing that the key to victory lied in one important fact. In their first match, Omega was never able to hit Okada with his finishing move, the one-winged angel. And Omega was confident that if he could hit it on Okada, that would be enough to win the match and to win the championship. But there is one last bit of intrigue surrounding Omega and the Bullet Club that's worth sharing before we watch it. Despite Omega being considered the leader of the Bullet Club for the past year, there was a more recent addition to the group that had shaken things up, You might remember him from the last match that we watched, now with the nickname of the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Remember Cody Rhodes?
Name, yeah.
He was the guy that you really didn't like at first, and then you came around to enjoying him towards the end of the match. That was Cody and Dustin Rhodes, Goldust versus The Shield. But Cody's departure from the WWE, that's another story for another time. But as he joined the Bullet Club, it became apparent that he wanted to reshape the group in his own image. Bit by bit, he would attempt to undermine Omega's authority, and rifts had started to form within the Bullet Club as a result. Is all this Bullet Club drama going to affect Omega's psyche before this title match in Osaka, Japan? Time will tell. But Omega's faithful pals of the Young Bucks will be ringside to provide moral support against the reigning champion, Kazuchika Okada.
So, leading up to this, the story isn't like all the drama leading up to this. It's still inside the match.
The focus is absolutely on, okay, this is a rematch to a legendary fight from 6 months prior. We're going to see these guys go toe-to-toe again. Okada, like, usually you almost never see the champion call somebody out. It's usually a challenger saying, hey, I want to fight the champion. So this is rare that the champion would do it, but because of how much notoriety their first match got, that we're getting a rematch now. But bubbling under the surface, a side story is the Bullet Club drama surrounding Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega. So there you go. Quick bit of data. I don't have a ton of data here. Your record, 51-38-1. This is going to be the 91st match that we have watched together. We're closing in on 100, Ryan, and you are in a two-match winning streak. We will take a quick pause, and then we will be back with our thoughts, on Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada at Dominion. Thank you, everybody.
It's what the world has been waiting for, the most eagerly anticipated rematch maybe in pro wrestling history. And Omega looks great. That 15 pounds of lean muscle mass, he's wearing it well for tonight.
Omega now, he's going to go for broke. High risk attempt here. Top rope Masai moonsaults. And Okada is going to go for it.
Oh, no.
Okada is going to hit this.
This speaks to the desperation. He's going up top.
If Okada hits it, he'll win. If he misses it, he loses. It all comes down to this. Oh! The elevation, the impact.
And Okada may have broken his elbow. Omega still with the fighting spirit, but he's hurt, Kevin. I don't think Omega can even stand up.
Uh-oh, wait a second. Here comes the rest of Bullet Club.
What is Cody Rhodes
doing? Cody's going to throw the towel in.
What is he doing?
He's gonna
Don't let him do it! Is Cody out of his mind? Stop him!
Why is Cody wanting to throw the towel in? The rest of Bullet Club is concerned, though, to the point where Cody wants to throw the towel in.
The Bucks need to drop Cody Rhodes where he stands before they let him throw that towel in.
Oh, block the Rainmaker. Oh!
V-Trigger!
Reverse Rana! The rest of Bullet Club can't believe their eyes. Neither can 12,000 strong. Neither can us here at ringside.
What the hell is wrong with Cody Rhodes?
Omega gets to the ropes. 1 minute remaining.
Come on, Kenny.
Desperation setting in for Omega, realizing he's only got a minute left.
Nailed it.
Snapdragon.
Get him up.
Oh,
drop kick. Goddamn drop kick.
Look at the 20 seconds. fire.
Unbelievable. Fans are on their feet. What a display of athleticism by both men.
We are back. We just watched Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega 2 from Dominion in Osaka. What did you think of the match, Ryan?
I'm so highly conflicted on this match. I don't know. I have a lot to say, but
What I want. So allow me to open up this LaCroix. I was dreading going into this match. Of the whole list of matches that I have put together, this is the one I was dreading the most. Not because I hate the match, just because I know how it's on paper the antithesis of everything that you enjoy. And like, I was so convinced that you were going to piss me off with your thoughts about the match because A, it's a 60-minute match.
Oh yeah.
B, it ends in a draw. So both of those things were working heavily, heavily against this match in the Ryan Murphy rankings.
I asked you in the beginning, I was like, is this match an hour and a half? Because it,
yes.
And like, you're like, no. And technically you were wrong, but like,
yeah, and I didn't lie to you.
You knew this was a long, and it didn't like, it kept rolling. It didn't seem like it was like an hour, like, but like, yeah, it was a fucking long ass match.
There is a reason why, yeah, we split the rumpus time and the wrestle talk this time around for this very reason, because I knew an hour long match in the middle of all that other stuff would be a marathon. We'd be sweating from our eyeballs, right?
Once again.
But yeah, so you picked Okada. Again, there was no winner. It was a 60-minute draw. Just so everyone's clear about that. But I guess before I get to the notes, coming out of it, what is your impression of the match? What are your feelings?
I thought like this it had like, I thought maybe like, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes through when it got like nuts, I was like, okay, sick. This is going to be one of the nuts. Yeah. Most insane endings that I've seen in wrestling. Like, it got so, and I give or take that time frame, but you know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
And then it drew on after that a little bit. And then at the end, like, okay, you get down to the top. And there was no chance. I even like asked, I was like, okay, like when you mentioned, I was like, okay, is this going to be a draw? Like, but I didn't, I thought there was no chance this match was going to end. How can you end a match like this in a fucking draw? Like, this is
keep going.
It's gonna hurt the match. but it also had a lot of like really cool shit in it, like, Mm-hmm. So little drama, like amazing moves, like some of the best that I've seen. Didn't know what the fuck was gonna happen at the end, which I guess is kind of the point, like, but sure. Still, like, I'm pissed. I'm not happy. Like,
ordinarily, so a lot of times if a match ends in a draw, the live fans, people who paid money to be there, would also be pissed. But it was like one of those things where you just saw such a fucking incredible match. Both guys got their ass kicked. Both guys gave you literally everything that they had, and they couldn't be mad. So like the live audience, who ordinarily would maybe piss on a draw, I was like, what we just saw was a fucking legendary match.
I get that it was a very good match, but like for an hour long, I want a winner and a loser. Like black and white, zeros, ones. I want, some sort of definitive, like, and that I did not get it. I got like wrestling blue balls right now. Like.
Well, my goodness gracious, Ryan. Well, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this thing. We'll dissect it a bit, and then we'll go to the very conflicted, I'm sure, ranking of this match. So, Kenny Omega comes out first with the Young Bucks. Do you remember watching the last Omega Okada? Granted, it's been a while, but do you remember
I know we've seen him. I don't remember the specific match, though.
It was the match that we literally had the biggest fight about the ranking ever.
What did I put it?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me find out. So you put do we want to have this conversation now or later?
I mean, you can put it wherever you want. Yeah, that's fine.
Just so you know, you put That's number 19 currently.
So like, was it too high or too low?
I was arguing that it was far, far too low.
Oh, okay. All right. I was probably right then. It's probably right on.
Yeah, no, you probably got it spot on as you do all the other times. But yeah, no, you put it 19. Well, at the time it was a 19. Now it's 19. And yeah, I was, and like that was our biggest argument. I was calling people. I was calling people on the phone during that. It was by far the most heated I've ever gotten about one of these rankings because I was
so mad.
Yeah. Okay. And one of your big complaints was how long the match was. And like going into this, I was like, God damn it.
The only thing that got you off that hook was that you told me this is not an hour and a half match. So like the whole time, I'm like, okay, yeah, you're probably going to end here. Like, and then I just kept going. So if you had led me into an hour match, I would have been like, what the fuck? Like, and then I would have been a little bit more moody. But
because you have so much other stuff going on, Ryan,
I don't hold my attention, you know, that long. So
sure. No, I understand that can be, it's a big ask for someone who's not necessarily a big wrestling fan, but, so to the notes, Omega comes out first with the Young Bucks. I thought the Young Bucks were a nice addition because you could hear them sporadically throughout the match. Just kind of giving advice to Kenny, like barking at the referee, that type of thing.
Are you asking me if I thought they were a nice addition too? Or?
I'm sure you can, or not. Any thoughts about the Young Bucks? Let's just say that.
They were fine.
Okay, great. Yeah. then Okada comes out, emerges with Gato. I think he had like dual robes. I think he had like an over robe and an under robe along with the title.
The robe really sold me, I'll be honest. Like that's... I love a little flashiness.
You can stop pounding. I'm hearing pounding on the desk.
I am. Sorry. I am.
It's all right. It's okay.
It's been an hour match. I'm like fidgeting now.
You gotta get it all out now. I understand. I was, you more or less had your pick in mind at the opening, I'm pretty sure. But like, we'll talk about it. But then Red Shoes. What thoughts on Red Shoes, the referee? My favorite referee in all of wrestling.
I did like the refs. You kind of mentioned like a little bit about him in the beginning. I liked the ref, and also one of the calls he got was insane. So
the breaking of the pinfall that you thought for sure
it was a great. I mean that's a real ref right there. You know that's a good solid quality ref. So
yeah, I mentioned to Ryan. The thing I like about New Japan is like every referee is allowed to kind of like show personality. So like different referees will referee with like different styles. Red Shoes is like an ornery old man ref. So like he doesn't tolerate a whole bunch of bullshit. If he gets pissed, he just won't fucking do anything. Like I've seen bad guys who cheat and then will immediately try and pin the good guy. And then he'll just sit in the corner and shake his head like, no, I'm not counting because you just cheated. That type of thing. So I love Red Shoes. But starting things off, we have some chain wrestling between the men. And I'd say pretty early on, I'd say the narrative was Omega's in control for the first half hour, 30 minutes, and has focused his attack on the leg, the knees of Kazuchika Okada. And it was during that run that you made your pick just because Okada was very much on the defensive throughout that whole flurry, it felt like.
I thought I nailed it. Like I thought my classic analysis of wrestling and
yeah, the classic formula if there is, but they kind of tease some dives. Okada's the first one to hit a big. He did an over the top rope head over heels dive, which was impressive. But like. You gotta say that Omega springboard where he basically leaps up, he almost lost his balance on the top rope and then hit a big moonsault like that. That was probably the first big major move of the match.
It was awesome. Yeah.
And we were both marveling at the impressiveness of that, but that kind of cut into the work on Okada's knee. We've got Okada's knee getting driven into the ring apron. Then he gets driven out onto the announce table. I've got even a little line from, so funny. Okay, here's literally verbatim what I have in my notes here. You could have counted to 40, and then - Ryan should like that. And so that so could have counted to 40 was one of the common the main commentator that was the homer for Kenny Omega. That was one of his lines is when Okada got dumped onto the announce table outside. Oh, you could have counted to 40 by now.
Like you're talking about getting back in the ring.
Yes, getting back in the ring.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, and I think we even mentioned in the middle of that, like, oh, that, yeah, this commentator is very aligned with Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think at one point there was like you said the exact same line.
Yes.
Like.
Yes.
Like word for word. Yeah. So no, I you know. Hey.
Great commentary. Great nice. Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, amazing commentary.
Great wrestling minds think alike.
Absolutely. Yes, very much so. We've got a flapjack by Mayoke.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a good flapjack.
That's a simple name, too. I just like the simplicity of that one. Hmm. You know, I didn't even, it didn't give me flapjack vibes.
I guess it, like you're flat as a pancake after you land. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But like, you know, like a flapjack would be like, well, I digress.
Spread eagle.
Yeah.
Then they fight back outside. We've got Omega thrown into the guardrail, gets booted over the guardrail then, and then Okada goes for a running crossbody over the barricade into the stands, etc. Then we've got, man, there were some wild like neck breakers, like the standing knee neck breaker that Okada does, where you and I were talking about, like the margin for error in some of these moves is like nil. Yeah. Like if you fuck somebody up in the wrong spot, like they're done.
And it's so fast too. Like it's not like you have time to like.
Yeah,
it's impressive. You know, a lot of impressive moves. Scary, but.
And right around here, both men kind of start working on the necks of the other. Omega hit a big baseball slide to Okada. This is actually where the springboard moonsault happens from Omega. And then he follows that moonsault up, climbs up to the top rope, missile drop kick to the back of Okada's head. And so like that's really where Omega switches his focus from the knee of Okada to the neck, upper back, etc. Omega, he gut wrenches, he basically deadlifts Okada and like power bombs him. Like within probably like a 3 to 4 minute span, you see Omega do this incredible flip, like from a standing position, jumps onto the ropes, flips off the ropes, and then just a couple minutes later, deadlifts Okada off the ground and then picks him up to his head and slams him down. It's just what a freak fucking athlete Kenny Omega is. Yeah, I'm always baffled whenever I see him wrestle just by how athletic he is.
I wouldn't disagree, no.
We've got a little test of wills, both men exchanging forearms, etc. Jumping ahead a little bit. There's a big long tease in the corner where like both men are fighting for something, but you're not quite sure what it is. I think you could probably argue that it maybe went on a little too long, but it ends with Omega getting just kind of like it's John Cena does this move. It's the FU, a fireman's carry slam. Basically, it's slammed to the apron, and that just looked like fucking death. Like, they showed the replay, and you could see it was like when Omega bounced off of the side of the ring, the apron of the ring, and then just landed on the floor.
Oh, on his back?
Yes, yes.
That, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that looked brutal. Okada followed it up with a shotgun dropkick, which I think you commented. We were talking about that shotgun dropkick as being also looking fucking like murder.
Outside the ring.
Outside right? of the ring, launching Omega into the barricade yet again.
I think they got a couple replays on that, but a couple other angles would have been like cool too. Because that was a whiplash type of kick, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okada grabs a table from underneath the ring, Chekhov's table, which I get this. Since we've mentioned it, this is the first time I can remember somebody bringing a weapon out and then successfully using that weapon and having it not turn on them, because he did later successfully drop the elbow.
He did kind of turn him a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. He got it.
Yeah.
But eventually, to kind of jump ahead a little bit, so like Omega, he gets put through the table with an elbow, and that table's outside of the ring, and Okada lands a elbow from the top rope onto the table, which is pretty impressive. And then Omega's like on the verge of death. We've got a couple of rainmakers, and Okada's basically just like, come on, bitch, what are you going to do now? And then that's when you see the Bullet Club appear. During the match, I kind of clued Ryan in, like, hey, man, like, you get this. I don't know if you're familiar with the term throwing in the towel, but you're probably going to be confused if we don't talk about this. But there's this bit in during this match where Cody Rhodes comes out and he's trying to throw in the towel for Kenny and so stopped.
I think you could have left that part out initially. Okay. Like, another reason I say this is because, like, at that, like, I was waiting until that towel came out. Like, I was like, nothing's happening until the towel flies. Like, I know there's, you know, but even when it happened, you know, it wasn't like it had to be explained on the scene. Like, there was no towel thrown. It was just like,
sure, right.
You know? I mean, definitely, like, I had no idea, but, you know, I was waiting until that towel had been thrown.
Yes. And the towel, so the towel was teased, but the Bucks successfully got Cody to not throw the towel in. Eventually, Omega grabs it. He fires up very briefly, and then that goddamn dropkick from Okada. He used it probably 5-6 times, and it was always like this momentum cutting off move. Yeah. Whenever Omega would start to get like a little bit of momentum on his side, Okada would hit the dropkick, and then it would shift it back in his favor.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I started to, like, my pick started to fall apart. I couldn't tell anymore, like, right around.
Which is the beauty of wrestling, is when you just don't know. When you just don't know. Eventually, we've got the greatest V-trigger. So the V-trigger is that running knee that Omega likes to do. Greatest V-trigger of all time. Okada's just slumped in the corner. Omega runs into the corner and just puts his whole body into that knee strike, and you could just see, like, Okada crumple afterwards. It's a great fucking shot. Omega finally hits the one-winged angel on Okada after trying it literally the whole match. He never hit it in the first match. Yeah. Finally hits it. 1-2, and then Red Shoes sees that Okada somehow manages to get his foot through the rope. And that's a rope break. So
yeah, I thought it was done right there. Cause like,
yeah, you didn't know it wasn't done until you saw the replay.
I didn't know. I fully thought it was over. Like, I thought the match was done. I was just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, like, yeah, right. Another loss, but like, it's okay. Like, this is right when a match should end.
You know? Right. Exactly. But right around here, we're at the, I think 55 minute mark or so. And you see more or less a big flurry of offense from Okada. He's hitting German suplexes, tombstones. Omega goes for like some brief bits of offense with like a small package just to try and get a quick flash pin. But Okada, of course, kicks out. And then, you know, they're giving us at the 5 minute mark, they're giving us 1 minute, like 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left, etc. Okada finally hits a Rainmaker. With about 30 seconds left, and he's just so spent that he cannot crawl over to make the pin on Omega.
And I'm just going to say, this is another part that frustrates me about wrestling, is the crawling, and the there's 10 seconds left, you can't get a move on it, you know? Like, get over there, you know? Like, and it's that, yeah. So, yeah, that's all. This just pissed me off a lot. Like,
I understand some of it. I don't necessarily agree, but I can sympathize with, and I knew going into it, that's why this, I was dreading doing this match, is because there's so many things working against it in the mind of Ryan. Any thoughts before we rank it?
No, I think we can go ahead and rank it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's pull it up. I'm very curious to see how this plays out. So I guess the first to kind of help us with navigational stuff. Is this match good? Is it great? Is it fucking amazing? Like, where are we thinking? What are we feeling?
So this match, like, I think easily would have been, probably would have been in great, just because of like, it's such a like fine, like this is what you watch if you don't want, like, I guess, like a lot of drama outside the ring and like a lot of, you know, like, and then you just want like a match. Like, uh-huh. It was really fun to watch. Uh-huh. It was really good, but a tie is insane to me. Like there's no closure on this for me. I don't. So that it's gonna hurt this match a little bit.
So you're saying it would be great. So are you? Is that meant to imply that this is not great because of the draw?
Yeah, I think in my opinion, I have to drop it. Like, I think I have to drop it. And I don't think it's not, I mean, until like it was still a good match. It's definitely good. I just don't think I can like take a tie here and be like, oh, that's acceptable behavior. Like,
yeah. What are other aspiring wrestlers to think when they see a draw in the great, like, are we then encouraging other wrestlers to have draws with each other?
That's a good point. Like, you know, I know you're being a little sarcastic, but like Eric, like, I don't like that at all. Like, I just think this match had so much. And like, it's like I said, especially around that 40 minute, I mean, whatever, like around that time, you know, mm-hmm. 2/3 of the way in, it was like, I was like, holy shit, this is getting nuts. You know, like,
yeah,
this is going to be such a sick ending, you know, I'm going to win. And then, yeah, I just,
man, so you're seriously putting this in the good section then.
I don't want to fuck up your sheet here. I'm like pressing things.
I don't think you have editing rights, do you?
I don't. I probably not. I don't know.
I think you have your view only.
That's a good call to block that because I'd just be like touching. So, okay.
Yep.
I think I need to punish this match a little bit for being a draw. If everyone wants to hate on me for that, that's fine. But like, I've watched an hour-long match and I've watched like 85 matches, you know, 90 matches, 100 matches.
This is the 91st match, yes.
But it was good. I mean, there was a lot of good in it, you know, don't get me wrong. It was an awesome match to watch. Like it was, you know, for an hour, holy shit, Eric. Like, yeah, I don't think if you had told me this is going to be an hour, like I said, I don't know. Like,
can I help you at all with your ranking? Cause the more you talk, the more it's aggravating me.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me just put it right above Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna.
Hulk Hogan. What number is that?
33.
Above Hulk Hogan versus a match that went, I think, 45 seconds, if my memory serves me correctly.
I just wanted to, like...
So, okay, so just is that what you're thinking?
I mean, I would say, I'm putting this in the middle of good. I don't know specifically what, Matt, but, like, I figured I'd, you know, for... You know, putting me through an hour-long match, I throw a little shade at Hulk Hogan again, you know?
What, you think that hurts me, that you're...
Yes, I think it hurts you. Like, I think it hurts you every time I do it.
Okay, great. So you're contemplating number 33, which would be directly above Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna from WrestleMania 9. Again, a match that I think went maybe a minute and a half tops. And then
I don't think that's a fair, you know, it's a fair placement.
And then it'd be below Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio Jr., which is another match that Ryan criminally ranked too low.
Okay. You know what? Yeah, this is 33. That's my age, you know, right there. I'll ask you, like, just where does this match rank on your list?
Well, you know what, Ryan? I'm glad you asked me that question because... Leading up to this episode, I knew that you were going to make me angry with your thing. And, like, I didn't want to take it out on you the same way that I did where I called you all sorts of names. And
do that all the time, Eric.
Well, I didn't want to do it anymore. We can change, Ryan. People can be better versions of themselves as time goes on. So, be the change that you want to see in the world. And this is actually up on our official website now, the Hardmark WordPress site, the same site that you can find all of Ryan's rankings, both Rumpus Time rankings and then also the main match ranking as well. You can find this there, but you're going to find a link on our website to Eric's correct ranking. So I have done my due diligence and I have ranked in a correct form and fashion all the matches that we have watched thus far.
Really?
Yes.
And let me ask you, Eric, like, do you just, you went through this list and you can recall, I assume you didn't rewatch all these, you know, matches. So you can just kind of put that.
I did not rewatch these. No.
That's a lot of, okay. All right. I was impressive.
I'm not saying that some of these might not change, but I think for the most part, I've got everything more or less where I would want it. And we'll talk more about this ranking because there's some discrepancies that I find very funny where I rank something super high and you ranked it super low, and but some of them were spot on. For example, I think there's a couple where we had the exact same number here and there. I can't
see make it. A heat map, you know, and just
a heat map. I'm going to put that on you, Mr. Mr.
Make Dave, a heat map, Mr. Yeah. But yeah, no, I assume you're going to. Let me know where this falls here.
So you can do you have access to this tab? You should. It should be at the bottom of the sheet.
Oh, Eric's correct ranking.
Eric's correct ranking, yes. And so I did the due diligence. I've got Eric's ranking on the left and Ryan's ranking on the right. So my number one, the correct number one, is Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. That's the real number one match that we've seen.
Oh, God, it's pissed you off so much.
thus far. It's number one with a bullet. Yeah. Very close. The other three, very close. Like, my number two is Will Ospreay versus Shingo. That's number four for you. My number three is Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn, which is your number one. So we're aligned more often than we're not, I would say.
Oh, I like this. Yeah, this is cool. Okay. All right.
So, looking over my correct list. man. I think this match is either fucking amazing or great.
It can't be fucking amazing.
Why not? Because it's a tie? Because it's a draw?
You could put it in great for sure, but like fucking amazing, that's a stretch.
So ultimately, when I come down to like difficulty thinking where I want to put it, I come back to this one. One thought of what match would I rather watch? Would I rather watch match A or match B? And that's what it kind of boils down to for me. And so I don't think that this match was as good as their first. It was a great, great, great fucking match. Oh, man, this is tough. I do think it's great. I think it's up the top of great, towards the top of great. I'm going to say... this even feels low, but I'm going to say this is my new number 13. So this is going to be, I'm putting this directly underneath Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon ladder match and directly above, coincidentally, the Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio Jr. match that Ryan did dirty that I just mentioned.
Eric, I don't think I fucked this match, dude. I don't think I fucked over the ranking that high. I judged it properly.
You kind of fucked it.
Great.
You kind of you said it was good. That's a fuck.
I didn't come in here and be like, I didn't really fuck this match. I put it a tier down.
You're gonna stand here with your fucking bold face lies and tell me that match wasn't great.
Yeah. No. You
can say the ending of the match wasn't to your liking.
That's the
because,
whole goddamn match, Eric.
Well, you're wrestling ignorant, and I wish you'd be a little bit more aware of the fact of how ignorant you were wrestling wise, as opposed to like, no, it's the rest of the world that's wrong. Like, you're just so insulated in your bubble of football and other fake sports that you just can't grab your mind that sometimes the art of a draw can be beautiful.
There's no art in a draw. That's why they removed it from all sports. Except soccer, it fucking sucks anyway. So
it's still a thing in hockey though, right?
I think maybe, yeah. I don't know if they go to shoot, but whatever. Like I like even hockey's kind of stupid, you know. Like
make all the enemies you can, Ryan. Make all the enemies you can. But yes, new number 13 for me again in the correct ranking, up towards the top of great, and then for Ryan, it's firmly in good. Just slightly better than Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna for all you WrestleMania.
I feel like I should have put it behind it now. Like, I thought I was gonna like
do whatever you want to with your bullshit list because I don't. You don't have that power.
Right there, I was trying to like throw the most shade on it that I could in that area. I was being precise, but then I was like, how can I like, you know, like piss Eric off a little? And I was wrong. I didn't even do that. You know?
Yeah, you didn't. So. Yeah, because I've caught on to all your tricks. Like, it's my list, Derek. It's my list. Well, guess what? Have your bullshit list. I've got a good list that I can just do whatever I want to with. And now everybody's happy.
I'm glad you made your list. This is a great addition to the list. The only,
yes.
And it's probably the only other thing I was thinking is like, sometimes I like to go with my heart and sometimes I like to go with the match. And I, obviously you should put a category in for that when I call it, you know?
I'm not going back through 91 matches to say which ones he called with his heart versus his head.
I'm just saying you can start it now, Eric, all right? but other than that, I like the addition. I like the addition.
I'll consider it. I'll give that some consideration. All right, well, we are finished with the Wrestle Talk. Let's do a real quick edition of Eric's Wisdom Tree. I've got some ones that would rile people up, but no, my heart is telling me this. This is what I need to say. And this, I don't know where you're going to fall on this. Okay. Maybe you'll agree. Maybe you won't. So my hair is out of control. I've not had a haircut since, I think early November, early to mid November. So we're working on what, 3-ish months.
That's a bit of time. Yeah,
it's a bit of time. Usually like 5 weeks is like when I'm on top of things, how long it'll be. But this is, you know, this is like 12 weeks approximately, give or take. So because I don't like leaving the house disheveled, I've talked previously about, pardon me, the LaCroix is giving me the gas bubbles here. But I've talked previously about how, for example, if I'm going grocery shopping, I don't leave the house in, like, you know, pajama pants, for example. Like, I will always put on jeans.
Okay.
And so, in a similar sort of fashion, I don't just leave the house with my hair looking all fucking crazy when I wake up. So I'll just put a hat on. However, here's the wisdom tree for this week, which is more like a call to action, I guess you could say. Someone needs to create a new type of hat. There needs to be a new hat that's created. Baseball hats are too casual. Other hats are too fancy. I need a middle ground hat that I can wear. Like, let's say I'm going out to dinner, not like a super fancy, nice dinner, but like a sit down restaurant dinner. I feel like a baseball hat, too casual. That's not the vibe I'm going for. But then if I put on like a fucking page boy hat or a fedora, that's not the right vibe either. So we need a middle ground hat that people can wear out, you know, to like their local yeah. Italian restaurant.
I like this. I like where you're going here. I will just note one thing, and I think it applies here, but like I always grew up, not my parents, but like, you know, we'd go over to like people's house or like, yeah, maybe like, they're like, don't wear a hat at the dinner table.
Right.
Like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, I never understood it, and I would prefer to wear my hat at the dinner table. All right. I don't know, like, you're talking about a hat that's just fully acceptable for the, like, you can, like, not just dinner. I get what you're saying, but like also like dinner appropriate.
Yes. A dinner appropriate hat that you can wear out with like jeans and maybe a button up shirt.
Not a tie,
but just a button up shirt, because like a baseball hat with that look looks stupid.
I just don't know. I agree with you. I like hats. As you can see, I'm wearing a hat right now. I don't think it's a dinner appropriate hat necessarily.
Sure.
Maybe more casual, not an Italian dinner, you know, kind of hat. But
yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like if you were going on a first date, you were going out to like if you were going to a brewery, that would be an acceptable hat.
Right.
But if you were going out to dinner, no.
Right.
So we
right.
need a hat that you could pair with jeans and like a polo or something like that.
Are you thinking about inventing a new hat, or are you just looking for an existing hat that's appropriate?
I don't think that there is. I've done Google searching. I don't think that an existing hat exists for what I'm talking about. So we need to call upon the fashion designers of the world to create this
I don't
hat.
Know what that new hat would look like. It's just like, it's one of those things you can't think in like 4D, right? Like, so I'm trying to like think of this new hat. And I just can't like, or like see colors that don't, like, I'm trying to picture this hat.
Yeah, know? No, but... Every hat I think of that exists now, there's already a stigma about. Like fedoras, need I say more? There's already like for sure, if you go out on a first date wearing a fedora, you're fucking done, pal. Like that's not going anywhere. The page boy, the newsboy hat, that I had one of those for a while. That has a stigma about it now, so I can't do that. There's like the, you know, the Indiana Jones sort of like not quite cowboy hat, but sort of like
what,
a cowboy
what about,
hat.
What about the, it's the hat. Oh God. It's like, I don't know, but like, it's like old school, like Irish hat kind of, you know, like it's that cap. That
like a bowler kind of cap.
Is that what it's called? I don't know what it's called.
But it's
got like it's got that like kind of smaller brim to it, like short on the front, but it's a classier style hat. What'd you say it was called?
I mean, I think what you're describing is a bowler cap.
Bowler cap.
You talking about like this?
Yeah, bowler cap. Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying Eric, it's your style. It's like you're trying to invent. Like that is Italian dinner appropriate.
I gotta marinate on this because I'm looking at Google image searches of people in bowler hats, and I don't like how I would feel in it.
I'm not saying I'm not saying it's but you get like you could put that hat on and be like, this is an appropriate hat for the dinner, you know. I'm not saying it's your style. I would never wear one. My uncle used to wear one, and I hated that fucking guy. So like, you know, like, but I just think it's dinner appropriate.
Maybe I got to think about it.
I want you, like, I think you should like fester on this and like come up with a hat idea, and bring it to the table.
I'll talk. My wife's big on fashion. I'll talk to her about like, hey, what bowler hat? Where are we landing on that? I have a feeling she's gonna shake her head and be like, no. But we'll find out.
But you have to, when you bring it up to her, you have to like, this might not be my. But I'm just making the like a little bit off topic. But like, I'm making the argument that it is an Italian dinner appropriate hat.
Doesn't necessarily have to be Italian dinner, just like first date.
I'm saying like that's exactly what you're talking about too. It's like, what kind of hat can I wear that's like, you know, a little bit like not baseball hat and not a beanie or not like top hat, like it's right in the middle, like it's right in the middle of all those things.
Okay,
like, now you got me fired up, Eric. All right,
well, I'm not getting you. What do you mean?
I come up with a great answer to your question, solve the problem, and you're like, you know, like
I don't think it's a great looking hat. I just think it's kind of, I mean, could you wear it?
It is what it is.
I think there's a stigma. I think there's a similar stigma. We need a stigmaless hat. Okay. Someone calling you? What's happening?
Yeah, you actually ran this just perfectly in time.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'll
call him back. But
okay. Well, can you fucking hang up on them so I can do the outro, Ryan?
Oh yeah, it's about to end.
Okay, good.
There we go.
But yeah, so we'll find out. We'll figure it out. And for next episode, Rumpus Time. Guess what, Ryan? I researched Space Camp, so I have a lot of important things for us to talk about.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. So look forward to that, everybody. We'll be getting together again soon. Ryan will tell us all about his job sitch and housing and whatever else and any cool hats that he invents between now and then.
I might wear a bowler hat to the next episode.
I can't wait. We're gonna. There will be a t-shirt in the Hard Mark merch store featuring Ryan in a bowler hat, so look out for that. But follow us on Instagram, the Twitter, Hard Mark Podcast. I will, by the time this makes air, it will probably have already been posted. But I did actually post something or will be posting something on our Instagram. Not you know, it's not that important. It's just a little clip that I thought was funny. But hey, maybe I'll post more. You never know. Ryan, he's on TikTok. Maybe he's on Threads. We don't know. But if you're not hard, get hard. Once you get hard, stay hard. That is all, folks.
Got like wrestling blue balls right now.